Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters that are listening. In the month of Ramadan, we began on a very important topic of the Quran, the tafsir of Surah Yasin. And bifazlillah, we covered around just two rukus of Surah Yasin. So inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we can continue as much as we can in trying to cover this very glorious chapter of the Quran, Surah Yasin, and the very important lessons that we learn from the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's been a while, nearly more than a week, 2 weeks, and so just to quickly recap so that we understand, alhamdulillah, the topic. The first section of Surah Yasin speaks about the Risalat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a very unique introduction to Surah Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fact that إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, without a doubt you are from amongst the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then very quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to console his Nabi, sadly, the people of Makkah had rejected the message given to them by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would make him feel very low, and naturally he was affected that why his people, the people of Makkah, the first community, the leaders, are not accepting something that is very much easy to understand, that worship only one Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave examples in the Quran that previously, O my Nabi, in one city, not one, not two, but three messengers were sent. Three messengers came, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And all three were also rejected by the people. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Then the Quran says, one of their companions also came to them, trying to speak to them. He was not even a messenger of Allah, not even a prophet of Allah, but a companion. And so he tried to convince them, talk to them, that look, you have the people of Allah in front of you, how fortunate you are. So accept the truth. And he was also rejected. Generally what happens is that when you don't have the right answers, then a person will turn into violence. The community and the people will want to open the doors of violence. This is something that's quite natural. When you can't give a reasonable answer to the questions that are put forward to you, then you have your ego, and that ego will push you to the extreme. And this is what had happened. There was a person who was trying to convince this lady that Jesus is the messenger of Allah. So very intelligently this man said to this woman that, tell me one thing, does God need caring from His creation? Does God require caring, looking after from His creation? So she said, no. God looks after His creation. The creation does not need to look after God. So he said, are you sure? And she says, yes, of course. So then he said that, is Jesus God? So she said, yes, Jesus is God. So did Jesus need to be looked after? She says, no, you're going round and round. So he started again. He says, okay, let me tell you one thing. Did Mary give birth to Jesus? Maryam? Yes. Yes. And so, Jesus is God? Yes. So when Jesus was young, naturally, Maryam alayhi salam had to look after God. According to you, Jesus is God. You see, when you start accepting falsehood, to hide one lie, you have to speak 100 lies. Because your entire foundation is upon lies. Now, how is it that God requires protection? Doesn't a mother look after the child? Maryam alayhi salam looked after Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he was not God. It's very simple. He was not God. He is the mighty messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, when you shut people up in this way sometimes, in eloquence and with wisdom, people don't like it. Because they have no answers. They don't know how to answer you. And this hurts their ego. This man was also talking to them, debating them, that look, you know what, who is your creator? وَمَا لِيَ لَأَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Now why should I worship anyone else but the one who has created me? And to him is our return. And all sorts, he started talking to them. They couldn't take it. And what they decided is that, okay, he's one man. You know, let's make life a bit difficult for him. And a few people ganged up on him, started kicking him, hitting him. And the crowd got larger and larger and larger, of course, with one man there. Eventually, this man also became shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Yasin, immediately covers the afterlife. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. But before we go on to this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has mentioned, يَا حَسْرَةً عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. يَا حَسْرَةً عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. Hasrat is a word that we use also in Urdu, and we've borrowed that from Arabic. See, Urdu is made up of two languages. Urdu is made up of two languages, Farsi and Arabic. So hasrat here means a person reaches that level of losing hope that he feels that now there is no way out for him. That is the meaning of hasrat. That he is totally now helpless, hopeless. That for him now to get out from this situation is very, very difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and this is not just a literal translation, just to paraphrase, and just to give you an understanding of the ayat, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that how hopeless is the situation of these people, the servants. Ibad means servants. Whether you are a Muslim, whether you are not a Muslim, because you are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the slave of Allah. So how hopeless is the situation of these people, alal ibad, these servants? Why? Ma ya'tihim min rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, every time a Nabi came to them, every time a Nabi came to a group of people, what did they do? Yastahzi'un. In the Arabic language, yastahzi'un means that you make musti, mockery, but not just mockery, that mockery has got humiliation. That is the meaning of istihza in the Arabic language. So it's not just a light-hearted joke. You know, you just slightly make fun of someone. It was just meant to be a joke, you know. Nothing too serious. No. This is very serious matter. They would want to make musti, a mockery out of the Nabi, but also to humiliate him. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That every time someone came to speak to them, they were not prepared to accept. Now today as Muslims we feel that subhanallah, you know, how are these people that a Nabi came to them and they rejected the message of the Nabi? But this is also the condition of many Muslims today, my respected brothers. The only difference is that of course Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his physical body is not in front of us, bas. But how many Muslims today also, well, they don't make masti or mockery, but in a way they are also rejecting what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them. Sometimes you will find that the right people speak to you and are trying to give you guidance, but you don't want to accept the guidance. That this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be doing, but people don't want to accept. Sometimes the parents are there telling you something. Sometimes the imam is telling you something. Sometimes your ustad is telling you something. Sometimes the elders in the family are telling you something. But we don't want to accept that. Allahu Akbar. And we are so blind that actually we are not disrespecting and disobeying these individuals. We are actually disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't even realize that. And so as Muslims, we are required that whenever someone is giving us good counsel, good advice, if somebody is telling you something good, shake their hands. They are your well-wishers. They like you. They are telling you something because they have iman and you have iman. Subhanallah. And that when a person is mukhlis, he will accept that. But today, that is not the case. After hearing the results of the votes today, Allahu Akbar, you know, it is a shock to me. It is a shock to me. I'm not a politician. Mujhe aap logon ne politician banaya. You people have made me a politician. I'm not a politician. Main to imam hu masjid ka bhai. I kind of like my profession. You know, I don't want to change anything. Do you, Farooq? No. But sometimes, what can you do? The situation and the halat, you know, you have to speak. And you sometimes start to wonder, Ya Allah, when will this ummat wake up? Pata nahi yaar, kya kare, kya na kare, how do we speak, what do we speak, what do we say to them? And you know, when you speak to them, this is the Muslims for you. You know, yeah, yeah, we'll vote for them, yes, yes. Yeah, 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 don't worry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when they go for voting, it's the complete opposite. That's the Muslims for you. Complete opposite. So we can say, Arey bhai, who did we say for you to vote? My uncle? Who? My uncle? Bhai, subhanallah, you know, we are so strong in this community, we don't even have a Muslim MP. And the other community is so fast forward thinking that this is our first strike, the second strike will be about the MPs, parliamentarians. This is how many MPs we want from our community. Already doing the groundwork. Kya kare? Kya kare? We can't even choose the right councillors. Never mind MPs. Fighting amongst ourselves. Hasad. Nothing. There's no lillahiyat. No khulus. This is the problem, my respected brothers. No khulus. Khulus, you know, if you're doing it for Allah, then dunya becomes very easy, my respected brothers. So this ummah today, I don't know, my respected brothers, what has happened to it, or, you know, I don't know what requires for this ummah to wake up. Some people can't even go to vote. Can you imagine that? Just simply to go out and vote. And far more worse than that is a group of people. Ye Farooq bhai ne mujhe message bheja tha. I was reading about it. If you go out to vote, it means you have accepted the commands of human beings above Allah. Arey Allah, pata nahi yaar ye. Who are these guys? I'll tell you who are these guys. I'll tell you. Ji? I'll tell you who these guys. These are the guys who breed in the Muslim community extreme ideologies like the ISIS. Like the ISIS. You know, they were saying that when we had the knife in our hands, and when we were assassinating, and aliyazu billah, what words do I use? The son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Usman, we were doing the zikr of Allah by killing the son-in-law, thinking what we were doing is right. Look how shaitan makes a mockery out of people. You are murdering Hazrat Usman and you are doing the zikr of Allah and thinking, you know what we are doing is right, Allah is going to reward us, because they usurped the position which was allocated for somebody else. So Aliyazu Billah, he is a traitor. Your mind is teaching you that Hazrat Usman is a traitor. What, you know, what's the problem with your thinking? That is why, my respected brothers, when you don't sit in the company of the right people who will give you right information, wrong people sit, you know, on the pulpit today. They're not even Maulvis. Ajib. Oh, a few days ago someone sent me a message. Sayyid Anwar, sitting on the pulpit giving a lecture after Asr Namaz. Sayyid Anwar. Who is Sayyid Anwar? Ji? A lovely cricketer. I'm also his fan. Don't get me wrong. Mujhe Sayyid Anwar se koi dushmani nahi hai. A fantastic Pakistani top batsman. Sayyid Anwar. He's an opener. Fantastic player. Nice man. Nice man. Beard, pagri. Thore jamaat mein gaye, this, that. Maulvi ban gaye. And sit on the pulpit and lecture. You see, these are the things, you know, when you think that, you know, when you are not a doctor and you run an office and your surgery pretending to be a doctor, you're going to kill someone. Are bhai? You're not a pilot and you might say, you know, I've flown this small flight, this, that, and, you know, I'll do this. Are bhai, what are you doing? You've got passengers sitting here. This is the problem with this community, our ummah. People, and you know, foolishness. When they get to the voting polls, oh, I forgot my photo identity. This excuse. And then, when they go back home, they don't even come back with this. They're too tired. Choro yaar. They really don't care about this ummah, my respected brothers. Forgive me, agar maine kuch galat kaha ho, I'm very sorry. You know, if I have said something wrong, I'm sorry, I don't know. But this is to my understanding. This is to my understanding. That there's something wrong with the ummah. When are we going to wake up? Why is it that batil can be successful? Look at them. Look how they talk. Where's the vision of this ummah gone? Wrong people. When wrong people set in, you know, when wrong people set in, then we start to cry. Oh, you know what? This MP is with the LGBTQ people, and you know, very soon this is going to be accepted, mandated. But who selected this person there? How did he come there? What happened? What did you do? And how fortunate we are, my respected brothers, that we are living in this country, are we not? Huh? So I sent to this brother the message. Farooq was not the culprit here. I'm just saying he sent me the message. He's a good man, Farooq. He's my dars ka saathi hai, bhai. But what I'm saying is that I said to him, MashaAllah, if you think voting is haram, then why are you holding a British passport? Huh? Get out of this country. If you are so sincere, then you should not be living in this country, you know, out, nikal ja. And imagine, you know, in some countries you don't even get a chance to choose and select democratically someone who you want, and Allah Pak has given us an opportunity to democratically choose who you want. How lucky we are. Otherwise you find today in the world they are dictators. Dictators. They don't even give you a choice. Do that, do this, remove him, push him out, do that, do this, everything. Dictators are there. No choice. But in this country, we live in such a beautiful country that there is a system. It's a democracy. And democracy means that, you know, there is a way that you have to follow. And if we cannot understand the system of this country, and we are not going to be in lane, in the fast lane to know what is happening, then we will lose the race totally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. Allah save us. There are so many examples that are there in the Quran, in the Hadith. You know, Musa alayhi salam went to Fir'aun. Fir'aun was the king. Yusuf alayhi salam went on to become the minister of Egypt. What are all these posts and positions? Being messengers. Suleiman alayhi salam, who is he? In the biblical language, they say King Solomon. Kya kehte hain? King Solomon, they call him King Solomon, King David, father and son, Awliyaullah, messengers of Allah. King Solomon, that's what they, look at the power they had. I see that Muslims don't want any kind of power. Muslims are in the habit, you know, of being at the receiving end. So when you don't have khulus, my respected brothers, khulus, ikhlas, is dangerous. You see, shaitan came in the form of a human being. In front you are something, inside you are something, that is very dangerous. That is what was happening with the messengers. They were making masti and they decided to, you know, play around and take the messengers as some kind of jokers, aliyazu billah. So, shaitan came in the form of a human being to who, you know, Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam met him, yeah, okay, who are you? He says, yeah, jinn, I'm the jinn, shaitan, okay. Because, you know, you are such a great Nabi of Allah, maybe if you ask Allah to forgive me, I want to ask Allah to forgive me. Musa alayhi salam was overwhelmed. Can you imagine? He's going to change the course of history. Shaitan wants to repent to Allah. Musa alayhi salam to khush hue bhai. Musa alayhi salam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, you know, the one and only. Shaitan wants to become Muslim today. Ya Allah, open the doors of your forgiveness for him. See, outwardly he was something. What did he say to Musa alayhi salam? Outwardly, I'm yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to expose him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, no problem Musa. He doesn't have to do anything. Even now take him to the grave of Adam alayhi salam and tell him to do sajda at the grave of Adam. What made him shaitan? Tell him to do it, repeat it. Tell him to do sajda at the grave of Adam. And his tawbah is accepted. Oh, when this was said to Shaitan, Shaitan changed his colors. Who do you think I am? Yeah. What do you think this is? I am better than Adam. I didn't do that. My fathers didn't do that. Do you want me to do it now? No. So you see, outwardly people have something in their mind, but inside at the right time, something that comes out, that is not sorted. And when you cannot accept the truth, so the Quran is saying, Ya Hasrat, you know, Hasrat on these people, you know, hopeless people. Every time a Nabi came to them, they were making masti and a mockery. And this is what we see for all of the messengers, even including our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they came, a group of them, Abu Jahl, Uqba, Ibn Mu'it, and all of these kuffar, they came to this elderly person, Abu Talib, and they said to him, Abu Talib, tell your nephew not to mess around with us. What was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing? Tell your nephew not to come in front of us and not to invite people to his way of life. Stop him. Otherwise we will do something that later on you will regret. Abu Talib was a loving man who dearly loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man is the father of Hazrat Ali. So Hazrat Abu Talib calls one of his attendants, Khadim, and says, go call Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam comes. They are all with Abu Talib sitting there. The leaders, much senior. And Abu Talib speaking with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with love and affection. My nephew, you know, these are tribal leaders. They have a complaint. They are complaining that You know, you are inviting people to your way of life. And this is against the teachings of the forefathers. So is there a possibility that you can compromise and you are going to stop? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to them, all of them. My uncle, I am prepared to compromise if they declare to one statement. If they declare to one statement, one kalima. Abu Jahl jumped up and he says, only one kalima. We are prepared to follow 10 kalimas. If you can stop. He didn't know what was coming. We are prepared. Yes, no problem. One kalima is nothing. One statement is nothing. We will accept. So, are you sure? Yes. Okay. Qul la ilaha illallah. What is it? Qul la ilaha illallah. Say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Jahl fuming. You see how the colors change. This is the tabiyyah. This is how insan is. Fuming. 1 minute he's saying that I'm going to accept 10 statements. And he said no. And all of them, Uqba ibn Mu'id, these were, you know, chief and tribal leaders. The Quran says this. And the Quran actually talks about this majlis. Where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that accept one kalima. So they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. You know, is this man reducing all our gods to one god? What is the message? So the Quran is saying, this is what they said. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا. Are you reducing our gods to one god? Inna hadha la shay'un ujab. You know, in Arabic language, there's a word called ajib. But the Quran didn't use ajib, the Quran used ujab. Even more ajib than ajib is ujab. And in the English language, how are you going to translate this? I don't know. But this is most astonishing. Ujab. What is it? This is most, you know, unheard of. Ujab, what is he talking about? How the Quran uses the right words in the Arabic language. Allahu Akbar. And then they stood up, Abu Jahl stood up, these leaders. وَانْطَلَقَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْهُمْ أَنِمْشُوا وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ. And they stood up, the chief stood up, and they said, you guys carry on, don't listen to him. وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ. And carry on. Looking after and worshipping your gods. Carry on. Inna hadha la shay'un yurad. You know what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying? This is just some kind of a scheme for him to become a leader. For him to become a great leader. For him to have authority and power. Ma sami'na bihadha fi millatil Akhirah. You know, we have not heard of this before in the previous faiths. In hadha illa ikhtilaq. This is nothing but fabrication. And this was the meeting that the Quran speaks of. And they stood up and they walked away. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered them only one statement. One Allah, I am the Nabi. Bas khatam. No, didn't accept. So they started now doing masti and istihza with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what had happened? Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator, and he says that at a time when the environment in Makkah was very hostile to the Muslims and they had all the power, the kuffar had all the power. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still in front of them had the courage to go and perform namaz in front of the Kaaba. So when he was performing namaz, again this group, the 7-8 people, group of people were standing. And Abu Jahl ko masti suji. So he said to the group of people, look, he is in Salah. Soon he will bow down. And they knew that Huzur alayhi salam, when he went to Sajda, his Sajda was not like our Sajda. Now don't expect the Imam in Maghrib to be do a Sajda for 2 minutes. Eh? Then they'll say, you see, Imam speaks like that, but what he does, that Sajda is individual Sajda. What is it? If the Imam starts doing long Sajdas, then the Masjid will be empty. Then the Masjid will be empty. Though Imam to bichara 3 martaba subhanallah par hi khatam kar deta hai. Samjhe? So that Sajda was an individual Sajda, very long. What had happened is that a camel was slaughtered. A camel was slaughtered. And obviously the intestines of the camel and the filth that is generally there inside, you know, inside the body, that is removed and put on one side. So it's the camel is a big animal. And so all that blood and everything that was there on one side, Abu Jahl said, I'm giving anyone mashwira. Who can dare pick up the intestines that is left there of the camel and put it on the head of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Look at the masti and mockery when he is in sajda. Now can you imagine the disrespect? A posture of sajda in which a person is deeply connected to his Lord, Allah. And this is what they do. And so Uqba ibn Mu'it decided that he will do it. The badbakht, the mal'oon. You get people like that today. Recently, a man whose name is it Tariq Fateh? Tariq Fateh? Tariq Fateh, do you know of him? Tariq Fateh. Pakistani, originally a Pakistani citizen, and lived in, I think went to Canada, but the Indians love him. A zindiq, a murtad, a munafiq. Name is Tariq, speaks bad about Pakistan, Muslims, and says Islam is a cancer. And then he comes on TV shows, and the Indian media love him, of course. They love anybody like that. And subhanallah, you know, when you look at his face, there's lanat. And he died also of cancer. And in this Urdu article, when he died of cancer, when you hate the Muslims, then why do you want to be buried in the Muslim cemetery? Go and ask the Hindu community to burn your body, bhai. Tumhe to kafiron se mohabbat hai, tu wahan jana, yahan kyun aa raha hai? Go there. So you see, my respected brothers, it's people like them. Mal'oon. You get people like that. Uqba ibn Mu'id. Even now, you get people like them. Who make a mockery of Islam. We have to be so careful, my respected brothers. So he placed the ujri, the intestines, on the head. Allah's Nabi asked him, the head Mubarak, all covered in blood, and it was all filth and all that napaki of that animal covering his back. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud said, there was so much tension between the Muslims and the people of Makkah at that time that even I could not do anything. I was alone. Until the young Bibi Fatima, the daughter, saw Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And she was young, they were not going to do anything like that. So she came and she started looking at Uqba ibn Mu'it and Abu Jahl and saying to them, you have no shame, you're doing this to my father. She came running and then she moved the intestines and cleaned the back and the blood and everything that was there and wiping the filth from the back of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And after a while, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam lifted up his head from sajda and he completed his namaz. And my respected brothers, he was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. What was he? When you do something personally, he is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. But when you come between him and his Allah, and when you disrespect the symbols of Islam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took one glance at the group that were there, and he looked up and he says, "My Allah, Allahumma alayka bi'utba, Shayba, Abu Jahl." And he says, "Ya Allah, you are enough for me. And Ya Allah, let the doors of your curse open up for these people." And he mentioned every single one of them by name. Baddu'a. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed them, they knew. Now they were kuffar, but they knew one thing, that whatever he says will transpire, will materialize, it will be it. And in a very short period of time, every single one of them was killed in Badr. Another narration, these were the people who were thrown into this well. There was a well in Badr, their bodies were thrown into it to rot. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the well and said to the people that were inside, "Abu Jahl, or leaders of the Quraysh, now have you found out that what you were saying is truthful, or what I was saying is the truth?" Hazrat Umar came running, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can they hear you, that you are speaking to dead people?" Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam says, "Umar, they can hear me like how you can hear me. The only thing is that they can't respond to me." You know, punishment, adab starts straight, not even when you are placed in the grave. How your ruh is extracted. This is what's going to happen to the people who make a mockery of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single one of them, their bodies rotted and died, and they were all punished. And he said, this is what is happening. So a person should not think, you know, for one minute, that because these foolish atheists say to you that when we die, your brain doesn't function, your heart is not working, there is no soul, nothing, you are just going to rot. You know, what foolishness, nothing is going to happen to you, you die. This is imtihan, my respected brothers. You die, but you don't die. And you don't die, you only die once. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ. In the Quran it comes, that you have given us death two times. When you die on the day of Qiyamah, you know, everyone again, نَفْخَيْ سُورِ, everyone is also going to die. وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ ذَلِكُمْ بِأَنَّهُ إِذَا دُعِيَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ كَفَرْتُمْ. Now you were invited to that one Allah, but you were not prepared to listen. So my respected brothers, this is what happens. So the Quran is talking about people who are not prepared to listen to the messenger. So Allah is saying, afsos, ya hasratan ala al-ibad. So as Muslims, we should also be making sure that if people give us good advice, and that good advice is according to what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, then we should accept that advice. Very, very important. That is why the path of a Nabi is the path to Jannah. The path of a Nabi is the path to Jannah. Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahhalallahu bihi ilal Jannah. That when you tread the path of acquiring knowledge, knowledge means you are going to follow the teachings of the Nabi. Not any knowledge. The knowledge that comes from the Nabi, Subhanallah, Allah will make it easy for you to enter Jannah. This is the path of a Nabi. The path of a Nabi, Allah's Nabi didn't say that if you go in the path of Allah, you know, for acquiring knowledge, Allah will make the doors of knowledge easy for you. He didn't do that. He didn't say that. He says Allah will open up the doors of Jannah for you very easily. Subhanallah. Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi, just to quickly conclude, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi, a very great mujahid in Islam, just like Tipu Sultan and other great individuals, but Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi is mentioned in history books. But in the early days of his life, he had three difficulties to accept, three questions that were not answered. And he found that very difficult. Number one, his father, Subhat-Tagin, the king, it was rumored that people were saying that Mahmud is the adopted son. Mahmud is the adopted son. So now this kind of shak entered the mind that, is my father Subhat-Tagin or not? Is he really my father? And then another ishkal that he had, a question, is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that my scholars are the heirs, my heirs, inheritors. They are my waris, the ulama of my ummah. So he said, the ulama, they really don't have anything. Maybe it should be like the kings, but why these scholars? In a simple mind thinking in the early days. And then number three, he was wondering that will he enter Jannah or not? That's simple. Will he go to Jannah or not? So these were three questions that were in his mind that needed answering. So in his travels, one day when he was traveling, he saw in front that there was a student, and it was during the night time, and he was studying the kitabs, the books. But because there was no light, so he went to this shop, and the reflection of the light that came from the shop, he would actually sit and read and study the kitab. So at times he would move away from the shop because it was a food shop, and sometimes he would get back and read again. So he says that in his mind that maybe he didn't want the shopkeeper to feel that I'm a beggar. So because he wanted to study, there was no light at that time, so he would go close, run on one side, come back, go this way. So Mahmud Ghaznavi is looking that, subhanallah, this student, you know, how he is studying. So he said to one of his khadims, attendants, that go and buy a special lamp for this young boy and give it to him so that he can use it and he can study. So very expensive lamp was purchased, given to him for him to study. He was happy, mashallah, studying. He went at home, and in his dream, all his three difficult questions were answered in one line. Three difficult questions were answered in one line. In the dream, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him and said to him, O son of Subhat-Tagin. What did he say? Allah's Rasul started off by telling him what? O son of Subhat-Tagin. Your one action is enough for you to enter Jannah. In one line. Look, Huzur alayhi salam is answering all his questions. O son of Subhat-Tagin, your one action is enough to give you Jannah, that you looked after my heir, my inheritor, the one who is a talib ilm. So this one action is enough for you. All the three questions were answered, that a talib ilm is someone who is the waris, the inheritor of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This action gave him Jannah, will open up the path to do good works, and that his father is really the king, that he was not adopted. And then his life completely changed. Subhanallah. So my respected brothers, when we follow the path of the prophets and we follow the path of knowledge that is given to us by a Nabi, a great Nabi like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we can never be misguided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah, we will continue with Surah Yasin as much as we can. And inshallah, take lessons from these beautiful ayats. Allah give us all the tawfiq, inshallah. So our program Wednesday and Friday also now will be after Asr, inshallah. Until we need to change, I will inform you. But from now on, inshallah, it will be after Asr, Wednesday and Friday, inshallah. Mukhtasar dua karle. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.